All right, well, good evening. If you have been with us for a while, you realize it is cool in here this evening. I know we have some fans. We're continuing to work on the air conditioner, but it feels really good to be here. If you haven't and you think this is the norm, you're a guest, we want to welcome you. My name is Tim Caldwell. I'm the campus pastor here. It is a great joy to call this church home and to be with the people of Midtown. So today, I don't know. Let me just ask a question. How many people are Psalms people? Like your go-to, if you were to open the Bible and you just find yourself like, I've met a lot of Proverbs people. I'm like, what do you read when you read the Bible? It's just always a proverb. Proverb a day. I don't know what the rest of the fable is, but a lot of people read a proverb a day. Or some people are like, I just like the New Testament. Or I like, if you're like, you just always usually, most of the time, more than not, land in the Psalms. Would you just, okay? Okay, a good number of folks. I want to sit with you because that has not been me in the past, and I started talking with some other people. Are you like a Psalms person? And here's a couple of things I got. I got some people going, well, you know what? I'm not like really artsy and like poetry and stuff, and or I'm not very musical, and so they don't stick with that. There's other, I talked with one person, and they just said, you know, sometimes when David's venting, like that just seems different than the rest of script. Like, can I quote, is that... And there's just questions, and so really, I will go with this. I don't know if you're not a Psalms person what that is, but I do know this. When I don't feel real comfortable and master something or feel real confident in that, what I usually do is I just lay it to the side, and I focus on other things that maybe I do know something about. And so what we're planning on doing for this series is for anybody who's not Psalms people right now, because the Lord speaks so much through it, we want to kind of give a framework, and we want to talk tonight about the five different types of Psalms, and then the next 5 weeks after that, we'll hit on one of those, and so really dive in, and so hopefully with a little bit of instruction and a whole lot of practice on your part, that maybe that there would be something that would really speak to us. And so just one example from life is we bought a house 12 years ago in West Little Rock. We came from Dallas. It's a great house. I know how to paint. I mean, I can paint walls, right? So that's what I did. Chip and Joanna Gaines, they had not yet mentored me, right, through their show. I had never seen Fixer Upper, so I just knew, like, kitchens, it cost a whole lot of money, and I wasn't even going to dive there. So our kitchen was hideous, right? But I just painted the rest of the house and focused on those things that I was good with, and so never did anything with it. And one time I had a friend who was a little older, a little wiser, and he goes, Tim, you can renovate this kitchen. I was like, there's no I can. He's like, we will renovate this kitchen. And I said, if there's we, like you are included in we, then you're on. And basically he said, Tim, I'm going to show you some things and I'm going to let you practice and we're going to renovate your kitchen. So low expectations. I mean, lots of people can promise helping you renovate a kitchen. But basically how it started was this. He goes, Tim, what you need is you need some lights. We had a big fluorescent light and he goes, you need some can lights. It's like, man, I don't know how to do that. So he goes, let me show you. So he says, just the general, just along the cabinet line, you go above there and you put in some lights about 4 feet across. If it's eight, so he gave me these things. I'm like, okay, talking like I kind of knew what I was doing, but I didn't. And so he basically put this thing up there and cut it out. And he goes, that's how you do it. Figure out where the other four or five lights go in here. And once you get done practicing, I'll show you how to connect it all. So I did. I cut some extra circles, right? I messed up in the way, but it was. I got it. We came and we put in the lights and we hooked it up. Now, before I really asked permission, I went to the next room and I started cutting, right? And I had recessed lights ready for that. I said, hey, John, would you come back over? I've cut some more holes and I'm not a master electrician, but I need you. And so all along the way, he helped me. So he gave the instructions and he gave me the task of practicing. And at the end of it, I mean, it was just lights and like we painted some cabinets, but transformation, right? Something that was like very intimidating to me before with instruction and practice, it really did mean for some transformation. Our goal for you guys and for fellowship this summer is that we would give some instruction on the Psalms and how to read them and the categories and types they fall into, hopefully give you some tools so that you'll be able to practice this summer. And so if you have that little sheet, I think mine may still be in my seat. It's a plan. If you did not get one, then make sure as you leave. Yeah, just raise them up if you have them. But basically, the practice is this, to be able for you to take the instruction and just to take God's word. And you can read one a day for the next month, or you can read five. If you read five a day, then you would get through the whole Psalms in a month or for this 6 weeks. But what we want for you is to give instructions. We want to grow in our appreciation of the Lord, of our expression and our worship. But that's going to happen through us practicing that. Psalm 119:99 says, I have more instruction than my teachers, for you yourself have taught me. I would love for that to be the testimony. You learn more in your time with him in the Psalms than you do even here. And so that's what we're asking, and that's why we're giving you the practice, the instruction, and we would hope that we would take this journey through the Psalms, and maybe something that we've been unfamiliar with or intimidated by would become something that would be really transformational and give us life. So let's go ahead. If you have your Bible, Psalm 33 is where we're going to be at today. One of the reasons why we picked this is because the five types of Psalms, all of them are displayed in that one Psalm. And so we're just going to give you an overview of the five types of Psalms, and we'll jump right in. So the very first Psalm is a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And I don't know, I'm just going to try to incorporate all the senses since we're just kind of teaching this today, but everybody just give a golf clap. You don't have to like make noise. Golf clap real quick. All right. Okay, Psalms of Thanksgiving, all right? Psalms of Thanksgiving, what do? They offer the believers thanksgiving for what God has done. Everybody say, for what God has done. Both in creation and for us. Sometimes this is a specific good that God has granted, and sometimes thanksgiving for God's goodness in general. So let's just read where that is in Psalm 33. It's going to be verse 2 and 3. Hear this. It says, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song and play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Give thanks to the Lord, right, for what he has done. Do you see this? How are they expressing thanks? With some instruments, right? With shouts, loud. Other places there's silence and there's quiet. There's bowing, right? Some postures that maybe we're not used to, but maybe the more we look at Thanksgiving Psalms, we will grow in and we'll be like those who, even 3,000 years ago, that was just the norm. We would grow in our celebration. And let me just say something here. If it's thanking God for what he's done, and many times with expression, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was a teenager. I went to like a charismatic church. And so the one thing, if anybody ever spent the night, I really was kind of worried about expression, not for my own sake, but for my friends. So if my friends came and spent the night, there was no hiding. Usually when the music was pretty kicking, and if not before long, there would be people kind of swaying, which is fine. You can do that at a football game, at a club or whatever else, but people would start swaying, and then I knew it. I was like, okay, Lord, let it just be tame. And then somebody would raise their hand, right? And they would start this and that. Maybe one hand is a question, two hands is a little bit more. But in our church, it didn't. That was just like getting warmed up. We had actually somebody in the back who sometimes would shout out hallelujah. We had one person that had like strings and would kind of run around. And we had somebody who also had a banner who would run around. And if you've never been to church before, so just wanted you to know, people express to the Lord in different ways. And so I would just say this, I understand we don't have any dancers as of yet or banners or anything else like that. But if you come from a very liturgical background, or Catholic or Episcopal or Lutheran or something, even when somebody raises a hand or claps or they give space as a band for you just to talk to the Lord, I understand that that could be different. And I would just say this, at Fellowship Midtown, we're not trying to make you into something that you're not, but we do know that even from 3,000 years ago, when people grew in appreciation for the Lord, they started expressing themselves in different ways. As you begin to know the Lord more and all the things and realize all the things he's done, there are ways through singing and through shouting and through silence and through bowing and through playing instruments and whatever else. And so I would just say this, no, we're not trying to force you to do anything. We're just saying sometimes if you're not able to truly express your emotions, then it's hard to really enjoy something. I don't know what the score was today for the baseball game, but yesterday I liked the Razorbacks, and even though I'm pretty tame, I mean, like 11 runs. I mean, like there was like 8-0 in like the second inning. I mean, I had to go like, yes. Like my boys were like, yes. I mean, well, I don't do this any other time, right? unless I'm really excited. And I'm just saying this, some of these maybe who don't have the right expressions or the right words, the more we sit in the Thanksgiving Psalms and we just learn of all the things that we are thankful for, maybe we could grow in our expression, to him. So, Psalms of Thanksgiving. The second one is this, is the Psalms of Praise. So the Psalms of Thanksgiving focus on what God has done. The Psalms of Praise generally focus on the nature of God, right? Sometimes on specific things, but it's about his attributes. It's about his goodness, his righteousness, his judgment, and his wisdom. We'll go ahead and read Psalm 33, what a Psalm of Praise, just these couple of verses. Psalm 33, 20 through 22. See if you can differentiate this from praise, because sometimes they seem the same. But it says this, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us even as we hope in you. Can you see the difference between praise and thanksgiving? Thanksgiving usually is for what somebody's done. Praise is really just for them, for the person, for God. And I would even say one of them seems a lot more personable or maybe deeper in my own opinion. Let's just take this to a coworker at work. Somebody covers me because I couldn't prepare for something. So somebody gives a presentation, thanks, says, hey, thanks for covering me on the presentation. I appreciate it. Check. Or what if I say, man, the way you presented that was phenomenal. Like, I really think you have a gift and I think you have a future here. That's praising them for who they are, right? And that, to me, maybe that compliment of, hey, thanks for covering on the presentation may not be remembered, saying something else of going, wow, I see a lot of potential in you. Praise could be remembered for longer. If I were to say to my children, my son, I'm teaching him how to grill. He can actually maybe do it as well. We're learning together, but he cooked for Upward last year. I could say just a compliment going, hey, you know what? Thanks for getting the grill ready tonight. Thanks. Or I could say, man, Hudson, you've been so responsible that I would trust you with fire. Hudson, you're doing such a great job of stepping up. Like, I can see you're gonna be a great husband and dad. Like, you're gonna be able to cook for your family. Like I see a lot of character building in you. And praise for kind of who he is maybe a lot more meaningful than even just the thanks. Both of them are in the Psalms, but I would challenge us all with the fact of sometimes it's easy to say, thank God for the day, thanks for my family, thanks. Sometimes to have a phrase of praise, it takes a little while to craft and really to think about. And so when we think, thank you, God, for salvation, thank you for your mercy, let's go back to this Psalm 33. James, we can put Psalm 33, 20 through 22. Just listen how much maybe deeper even than just thanks this is. It says, man, our soul waits for the Lord. He's our help and our shield. Our hearts are just glad in you because we trust in you. Let the steadfast love of you, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. I wonder if maybe before we go on, because I feel like most of the time when I hear people pray, it's mostly thanks. A lot of times more, it's just easier to do that. Maybe just take a moment, if you have a pencil or if you've taken one from the pew in front of you, can you maybe just think for just 30 seconds, what would be maybe some type of a statement of praise? Maybe that's for his mercy. Maybe just like what we just read, just my heart is glad in you. Like, you're just good. Like Psalm 63, 3, it says, your loving kindness is better than life. Translation, if I didn't have you, it wouldn't be worth living. I mean, that sounds like a Hallmark card. Like, that is just praise to say, Lord, you're everything. Can I just give you 30 seconds or even a minute? Just, you have a blank there, a statement of praise. Not thanks for what he's done, but just praise for who he is. Could you write something there? Just think about it for just a moment. Sometimes it takes a little bit to write something that really expresses what your heart is. And this is just for you to see, but will you just write a statement of praise? Because man, he's incredible. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. Just between you and him, you write that down. these praise songs are going to give us new language to grow in our appreciation and our praise for him. And just know, as you grow in your relationship with the Lord, sometimes my words to my wife after 1 year, now 10 years, almost 20 years, right? My words grow as our relationship grows, and hopefully your words of praise to the Lord will grow, and the Psalms will help us in that. So just real quick, so that we have a motion, we have the Psalms of Thanksgiving, Psalms of Praise. Okay, you don't have to put them all the way up. I know some of y'all are Baptist or Lutheran or Methodist, but have it right. Here's what I want. Here's why I'm giving you these little symbols, because tomorrow, or if you're reading through the Psalms, you're like, oh man, I don't have my handout. You're going to be going, right? You're going to be going, you're going to have these down. So just one other sense. Okay, so just write real quick. We don't tell anybody. We won't take a picture right here. Okay, so we got Psalms of Praise. We got Psalms of Thanksgiving. Those are two different ones. And yes, those are two. The very third one is this. It's Royal Psalms, okay? Royal Psalms, right? And I just kind of went like this. If you were to bow before a king, as far as the motion, here's what Royal Psalms do. They express the belief that God does his will and his good works through his authority as king. Sometimes Royal Psalms celebrate the coronation of good works of an earthly king. But here's the deal. They talk about God's power. Let's read in Psalm 33. Listen to this powerful, powerful king. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded it and it stood firm. Do you see that? Royal Psalms talk about him as king and as powerful. He spoke it all into being. And so as you read those things, hopefully your view of the Lord just began to enlarge. Your confidence in him begins to grow more and more because he is king. And so whatever it is, your bad day or your bad season or not knowing things, he's got this because he spoke it all into being. And there are times to just praise him for who he is, but there's some times to reflect and say, he is the ruler. He is the king. And so these royal psalms look at him as king. They should bolster our confidence. One thing on this, and we'll spend a whole week on this on Psalm 24, but know this, some of the psalms, just so you don't get sidetracked, some of them are like about King David. So some of them you're going to be like, this doesn't quite sound like God. It sounds like David or a man. It is, right? Some of them were to their king. So just know that some of them are foreshadowings and even pointing towards Jesus, who would be crowned the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So just know, but these psalms, as we look at them, the royal psalms and his kingship, right? And we look at how huge he is and powerful he is, our confidence in him should grow. Now, I was thinking about this. Officer Hinesley, Eric Hinesley is the officer who's usually here on Sunday nights. We've been friends for about 10 years. Now, arm wrestling, he and I mean, I don't know, he wears a uniform that kind of hides everything, but if he ever wears a t-shirt, like, his arms are as, like, big as my waist. I mean, he's a very powerful dude, but we're friends, so it's good. But think about this for just a moment. A police officer with a gun and a badge, right? It's just a man and a gun, right, with some backing. And a lot of times it could be up against another person, another man with a gun. So it almost seems like it could be equal, but there's something about the police officer. The police officer is not just one person. He has authority, and he has a whole police squad behind him, right? He has a whole city behind him. He has a whole country behind him. So for some reason, if somebody was taking out police officers, then it would be a whole lot more. It could also be the government, and it could be the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, the National Guard. I mean, you could have a whole lot of backing. So it's one man with one gun with one badge, right? There's actually a whole lot more of that. So if I were ever to get in trouble and just stand right beside Eric Hinesley, I would feel so much more at ease, okay? Not because of him, for sure, but because all that that represents. Here's when we read about the one who spoke it all into being. Being with him, knowing that he has all things in control, it should not only bring a peace. As we read royal psalms, our view of him should become bigger and bigger and bigger. And our confidence, because we know who he is, we're getting to know who he is, should grow. Your royal psalms, especially sometimes circumstances don't look the way that we thought they would. So to be able to stand next to or to stand under the King of Kings should bolster our confidence. Royal psalms will do that. And the more you read through the psalms and look at that, you'll see, yeah, this is a royal psalm. This is talking about the hugeness and the bigness of God and that he is king and that he is in charge. Royal psalms. Okay, there's three. The fourth one is this. Repeat after me. Say psalms of wisdom. Okay, say it one more time. Say psalms of wisdom. We could scratch our head for this if you needed a visual. But Psalms of Wisdom, listen, for all my brothers and sisters who like Proverbs, these are kind of like that. They give general truths. But since Psalms many times were made to be sung, they would take Proverbs and let them be sung and put them to music. But they contain teaching and wise counsel that are similar to Proverbs, but in the form of a psalm. Let's go ahead and just read. It either talks about God's wisdom and he's got it all figured out, even if this world doesn't seem like it, or that's not playing out here, or it just talks about general truths and principles about a life that pleases God. So let's read, first of all, from 33, then I'll explain a little bit more. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12, talking about God's wisdom. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. There's a wisdom above this age, the Lord, and he knows, he is wise. And so it talks about his wisdom. He's all-knowing, even when things don't shake out quite the way that we think they are here. We can trust that his wisdom prevails, is the first way that wisdom psalms can be read. But the second one is this: the general truths and principles are meant to instruct believers on a life that pleases God. So just know that if even in your notes, if you were to underline that general, these general truths and principles, just underline that general, okay? Because here's where some people have some hang-ups. It's just talking generally, what does a life look like that pleases the Lord? And what is a life generally that does not please the Lord? And so if you were to read those as like, as sure, it'd be like, you know, the one who delights in the Lord shall prosper. So if you were to take that to the bank and you were to delight in the Lord that morning and you read his word and then you don't get the job and you don't prosper, you'd be like, man, this word is not like, these are not like, these are proverbs, these are psalms that are general truths. So when it talks about what are general things about somebody who loves the Lord, man, they delight in the law of the Lord. They're like a tree planted by streams of water who yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff the wind blows away. So know when you read these, it talks a lot about the wicked versus the righteous, the just versus the unjust. General truths about from the Psalms, which are Psalms of Wisdom. Okay, can I give you guys a test real quick just to make sure you're still with us? Like, this is mostly instruction. You guys are going to go practice this, so I want to make sure. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks is what? A psalm of? Yes, a psalm of thanksgiving. Okay. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, its people and all who live in it. I'm seeing conflicting, your final answer. Okay. The one other. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Yes, royal psalms. Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for he is merciful and gracious. There's no test in Psalms, though. Just know that. Don't feel guilt or shame. We want you to start to identify some of these. How about this one? Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. Wisdom. Okay. Good. You guys are getting there. You can identify these. There's one last one. One that maybe is a little bit different from all the others, but the last one is this. It's a psalm of lament. Psalms of lament. They respond to crisis and grief and despair. They're intended to move a believer from a really rough time and maybe doubt and hurt to joy. These psalms express that God is present even when we can't discern his presence in a world due to our sufferings. Let's read in Psalm 33. Psalm 33, there is a little bit of a lament. There's other psalms that like really peg this so well. We'll read Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. You can get just a taste of it. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope in his steadfast love. And then, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Who's the one we can talk to in famine? Close to death. Psalm 22 may be on the other side of this, not even comforting. It says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Can you say that? Can you tell that to the Lord? Well, Jesus did. He asked this on the cross. Why have you forsaken me, deserted me, abandoned me, renounced me, discarded me? Can we vent and say that to the Lord? Well, one of the most common psalms in all of the book of Psalms is laments. And so what I want you to know is this great truth today is this. Not only are these permissible, okay? Not only can we be able to tell our thoughts to our Lord because he's royal and he's king and he can handle those, but they're actually necessary for us in our growth. If we're going to move on in a relationship with him, they are necessary. Laments are not only permissible, they are necessary. I want you to think for just a moment, people that you are in relationship with, that you are the tightest with. I'm thinking the people that you like either would want to spend the rest of your life with, or if you're going to be able to go on a trip, you'd want to see them, people you have a lot of history with. I'm thinking that you probably have some hurts from them, some conflicts from them, some things you had to resolve with them, right? People you've never had any of that with, you don't have much history. You may have an admiration of them, but nothing else. But those people you're tightest with, you've had to work through things. You've had to have honest moments with them, correct? Would not that be the same with the Lord? There's this tendency in the church to put on our Sunday's best, or if we think things, not to say them out loud or to say them to the Lord. As a pastor, like I'm meeting some of my neighbors right now, and we're talking, and people talk freely how they usually talk. There could be plenty of colorful language in there until they hear I'm a pastor. And then sometimes that colorful language comes in surprise. You're a what? And then all of a sudden they become, you know, I went to church when I was a kid. Bless God. And that's just our nature, right? Somehow when we come in here, that the Lord maybe couldn't handle, like if we put on our best, he doesn't know. He knows our heart. And actually, not only does he give us permission in these laments to share disappointments, it's not how it was supposed to go down. Whatever we've been feeling in our hearts, real doubts, he can handle those. I would say not only are those given us as an example, they're necessary. For people who say, oh, I would never say that to the Lord, may seem spiritual. I would say maybe that's just more shallow. If he's our Lord and he's our everything, if he knows our hearts anyways, why couldn't we just openly express to him that which is in our heart? Because I think if we could ever move to that place where we really could, so the hangups that have been holding us back from distrust and fully giving ourselves to him, that maybe we could find healing for the first time. I can't help out my children if they're not being honest, if they're having a hard day or struggling through something. If they don't tell me, I can't walk them through a process. The same way, if we hold all this in, and I've never met anybody whose life is so good that they didn't have struggles and doubts and laments. So please take this great gift today as we read the Psalms, and there's a ton of them that are laments. They not only give us permission, and not only do they become permissible for us, they become necessary for us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. He can handle those things. And so because of all this, I just want to say this. We have been given a gift with these Psalms, a great gift that some of us in here have been drinking from for a long time. For some of us, we've neglected them because we haven't known how to read them. So my challenge for you today is this. You can even go on, if you're not good at discerning which ones they are, you can Google chart of Psalms and which ones they are. And usually they're one or two. It's either like a lament and a praise, whatever. You can just look at it. So they'll do the work for you, and you can read it in light of that. And you can start on this homework and just start letting the Lord, both in our confidence growing to him, in our openness, in our healing through laments, in our praise and thanksgiving, and just learning new language, and maybe even not the wisdom of the world, but his wisdom, and looking at those things. What would it look like, Fellowship Midtown, if for the next 6 weeks we journeyed through these Psalms and we became wiser than our instructors because he himself taught us of who he is and what he's like? Going back, it's pales in comparison, but in a challenge just to practice the Psalms this week and the weeks to follow. When my friend John came over to help me with the light, he gave me the instruction. He made some cuts, one cut in my ceiling. If I would have never practiced it, you know what I would have had? A hole in my ceiling. Nothing else. I got the instruction. I had to do something with it. I had to start cutting and practicing and doing some stuff for myself. And I would just say this. We have been given a treasure, church. If it's for the very first time, if you didn't even know where the Psalms were tonight, or if you've been in it, it's just been really unfamiliar lately, can I just challenge us all? Let's journey with the Lord through the Psalms this summer. Let's see what he has to say to us. And let's be able to be real with him in our relationship with him. Would you pray with me today? King Jesus, thank you for the gift of your word. We do say thanks be to God for your word. We're grateful for it. It's alive and it's active. God, I just pray for the group here today, for our people. God, would you grow us in our thanksgiving? Would you grow us in our praise? That they wouldn't even just be routine phrases, that you would give us new language and new words as we read the Psalms of really what you mean to us, that your mercy is great, that you are slow to anger and abounding in love, that you redeem us, that you, there's just so much. Would you give us language for that? God, would you give us wisdom, and would you increase our view of you? God, lastly, I pray for those who need to lament, or who are, their season in life, it has not been fair. It has not been good. It's been hard or even horrific. God, I pray for them, and I pray that they would no longer suffer alone, but that they would have an openness with you, and whatever, being in awe and being open at the same time, that they would be able to find that balance. But those who have felt forsaken by you, that God, you would minister to them, that you would give them hope, that you would scoop them up, that you would be their treasure and their portion and their healer. God, you are enough. You are enough for our hurts and our healing. So would you do surgery on our hearts this summer? We need you. Would you transform us? And would you give us new life? Would you give us new avenues to express to you and to enjoy you and to delight in you in ways that we've been stuck in the past? Oh, Lord, would you yourself teach us from your word? Would you teach us? Would you teach us? Church, can I say this? He is good, and we pray that you would know him. If for the very first time, please come and talk with one of the pastors. If it's to know him anew, we invite you, church, today to partake in him and his word. I say all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.